Welcome back. I'm Alex Streamer again, the Alex Streamer Show, a recorded edition of the Alex Streamer Show. You'll be hearing this recorded edition on Saturday, July the 4th, 4th of July, and Saturday, July the 11th. We'll be back live on Saturday, July the 18th, but we are going to bring in a guest here in the third segment of the show to talk some baseball with us, some mid-season storylines going around baseball. We bring in Rob Blackstein of RotoRob.com. Rob, what's going on? Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, what up, Alex? How the hell are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. Again, a recorded edition of the Alex Streamer Show. Now, Rob, we continually heard, heading into the season, that the economy would be the number one storyline for the 2009 baseball season. That's what we heard. Well, here we are, Rob, and outside of a few empty front row seats in Yankee Stadium not being sold, the economy doesn't appear to be the main issue that we all thought it would be. Would you agree with that assessment of mine?
To an extent, I understand that attendance is down to a small extent, and certain markets are really suffering.
Right, like San Diego is really suffering.
Washington is really suffering, but that has a lot to do with the quality of team that they're putting on the field, of course.
Correct.
But generally speaking, one of the reasons why attendance is down slightly is because Yankee Stadium and the new Citi Field are both smaller stadiums than the old ones.
Mm.
So that's had an effect on attendance, actually.
I think that actually is a really good point, Rob, and one that I think a lot of people are missing. I mean, the new Citi Field is much smaller than Shea Stadium was, and the new Yankee Stadium even is a little smaller than the old Yankee Stadium. That's absolutely right. And when I talk about the economy, Rob, obviously here we are recording this on Wednesday, July the 1st, to run Saturday, July the 4th, Saturday, July the 11th. And, Rob, I'm not sure, as of this recording, it could change in a matter of weeks, but I'm not sure if we'll see these massive fire sales that many were forecasting a number of months ago. You know, you heard it, Rob, at the trade deadline, everyone will be available. Well, I mean, as of this recording, it's apparent that the Pittsburgh Pirates are willing to deal, that the Nationals are willing to deal, and that the Cleveland Indians are willing to deal. But outside of that, I don't think we're going to be seeing these massive fire sales. I mean, would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, and I think the reason for that is, and this is something we talked about offline and during our emails, is the parity in the game,
right,
to an extent. So I've been looking over the standings and trying to identify teams that I think are going to be sellers at the deadline.
Okay.
And there's only a few that are obvious ones. You mentioned three of them there. San Diego could be in the mix as well. But because the teams are so bunched up and so many teams are really... Hell, the Pirates are only six games out in the Central. That's more a statement to how bad the Central is than how good the Pirates are. But my point being that even the Pirates are not out of it with a good run. So there's so many teams that are within the striking distance, it really doesn't make sense to raise the white flag. I mean, are we going to get to a situation like we see in basketball? I mean, obviously, with a salary cap, that's a different story. But so many trades are financially motivated in basketball.
Right,
but
they
in baseball, are we going to start heading in that direction with a market correction where teams try to unload contracts that are now financially unwieldy that are just holding them back? I don't know. I think we're definitely headed for some sort of market correction. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the deadline.
Yeah, Rob, I mean, you mentioned the competitive parity and the competitive balance, which thus creates parity, going on in Major League Baseball. I mean, the Pirates have dealt Nate McClouth already, as of this recording. They've dealt Nigel Morgan and reliever Sean Burnett. And actually, as of today, Wednesday, July the 1st, I don't know if you saw this, Rob, but players actually were complaining about about the Pirates selling off guys, because the Pirates are only 5-6 games back as well because, again, of the parity in the game. And I think that's going to be an interesting story to watch in Pittsburgh. You have new management coming on there. General manager Neil Huntington with the Pirates has had kind of a mixed record of talent evaluating. You know, he didn't really get back a good haul with the Jason Bay and Xavier Nady deals made last trade deadline. And this year, I mean, the Pirates, as you mentioned, are a good run away from being right in it. And they've already traded their starting center fielder, Nate McClouth, and another outfielder in Nigel Morgan. So,
well, Alex, I mean, as you know, the Pirates haven't made the playoffs since before you were even a glint in your mama's eye.
Right.
You know, so this is not a new story. This is like recycled over and over and over again. And I say good for those players for finally standing up and saying, what's the deal? We keep making these deals, like last year was Jason Bay, of course. We keep making these deals where we're trading key components of the team for the future. Well, when does this future arrive exactly?
Right.
If I'm a Pirate fan, I'm just like, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. I agree, absolutely. But, you know, and I also think a big reason why we won't be seeing these massive fire sales quickly, Rob, is because you know, the Tigers, a team that we all thought would be out of it, they're leading the AL Central. You know, I mean, the Brewers.
The Tigers would be out of it?
Well, I actually thought they would finish towards the bottom of the AL Central. Why?
Really?
You didn't? I did, yeah.
Oh, I think the Tigers just last year, you know, was, you can shoot yourself, I mean, basically just write it off. Give them a mulligan. Last year, basically, everything that could go wrong, could have gone wrong, went.
Yeah.
This is a good team that's built to win.
Yeah, they are. Well, I guess the point was, Rob, I looked at what they had last year, and I said, okay, Joel Zumaia isn't going to come back healthy. You know, I was really negative with the Tigers. I said their offense isn't on good as paper on paper as it was in previous years. I said they're starting pitching, Justin Verlander. I mean, at big regression last year, I didn't think they had enough starting pitching. But, I mean, Verlander's been great. Edwin Jackson, they made a great trade with the Rays as well, getting Edwin Jackson.
That's been huge.
So the Pirates, though, I mean, but people who thought they were going to be out of it, the Tigers, excuse me, people who thought they were going to be out of it, they're not out of it. They're contending. The Brewers as well are contending, too, in the National League Central. We're talking with Rob Blackstein of Rotorob.com in a recorded edition of the Alex Reamer Show. Rob, another big story throughout baseball.
Sorry, Alex, if I could just go back for a second.
Sure.
About the Tigers, because yeah. It's interesting what we were talking about before in terms of the economic issues that teams are facing. As you know, the Tigers' attendance is one of the hardest hits because Detroit, in particular, has been really at the center of the economic downfall.
Right.
Things are really bad. Now, could you imagine how bad the Tiger attendance would be if they were not in first place? Right now?
Where, I mean, you'd be wondering where the people went, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to sort of mention that because that's an interesting storyline there.
It is, and they're winning, though, which is why I thought that the Tigers would be in full sell mode. Even if they were a mediocre 500 team come, you know, beginning mid-July, I would have said, okay, they're going to sell because no one would come to their games. But they're leading the AL Central, and looks like they're legitimate. So good for the Tigers. Good for Detroit. Again, though, we're talking with Rob Blackstein of Rotorob.com, recorded edition of the Alex Reamer Show. Rob, another big story in baseball, as it always is this huge steroids mess. Alex Rodriguez, Sammy Sosa's names get released from this 2003 drug test taken in spring training of 2003. But Rob, I mean, Donald Fear, of course, announced his resignation as head of the Players Union a couple weeks ago. But Rob, I just want to ask you generally, as a baseball fan, when you're watching a baseball game, do these issues affect the way that you enjoy the game?
No. No, they don't. I mean, they affect me off the field when I read the sports page and I'm I start getting confused whether I'm reading the business page or the legal page as opposed to the sports news.
Right.
I don't want to stick my head in the sand and pretend it doesn't exist. But at the same time, I try not to let it take away from the purity of the game. Frankly, I don't know what to think about this steroids era, to be honest with you, Alex, because if it's as rampant as they say, or as Jose Canseco says anyhow, then essentially every pitcher and every hitter was cheating. So doesn't that level the playing field?
Right.
I'm not condoning drug use as a way to get ahead or to make the major leagues. I think that's wrong, absolutely. But I'm so over this whole steroids thing. Just let's move on.
I am too. You know, Rob, the comparison that I bring up a lot is, listen, let's say there's a substitute teacher in the class, right? And everybody is cheating on the test, right? I mean, you went to school, Rob. The substitute teacher, there's a quiz.
No, I didn't go to school. We don't have school up here in Canada.
Well, you know what I meant. You know what I meant.
I do know what you mean. Yes, I did go to school once upon a time.
Yeah, okay. Well, so you're going to school in Canada, Rob, you know, you're going to school in Canada and there's a substitute teacher and, you know, they hand out a quiz or a test or an assessment and everybody in the class is cheating, right? Doesn't that kind of level the playing field? That's the same analogy that I use for baseball. If a pitcher's on steroids, a hitter's on steroids, isn't it a quote-unquote level playing field? Maybe not an ideal playing field, but isn't it quote-unquote level?
To an extent. I mean, that is a bit of an oversimplification, but I hear what you're saying. I think it goes a little deeper than that, Alex, because what you're talking about is the difference between two prospects, let's say, all things being equal. One makes the major leagues because he gets that edge from steroids. One,
right,
like a career quad A player kind of thing. You know? One, we got two bench players. One of them becomes a regular player because he's taking steroids. The other one remains a fringe major league player. So I think that, you know, there are circumstances there where it's not as cut and dried is like everyone's cheating, but sometimes I do wonder, like, just how many of these players are on it. And like I said, I'm really tired of talking about steroids. I hate to tell you that, but
Don't hate tell me that. I'm tired about talking about it too, Rob. And, you know, I mean, I think just the people who say that this, you know, really affects me as a fan, I mean, I think they're all a bunch of hypocrites because you know this, Rob. When home run rates went up in the late 90s especially, right, attendance figures went up as well.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone who says it affects them is a hypocrite.
You are bang on. And actually, I was thinking about that earlier. And I was going to
I like that. I like that expression, by the way. Bang on.
You are bang on because that's exactly right. You have people speaking on the one side out of the side of their mouth saying, oh, a bunch of cheaters, blah, blah, blah. And then they go to the ball games and they say, geez, I want to see some home runs here.
Right.
How come nobody ever has any home runs anymore? I don't want to see a 2-1 pitcher's battle because they're not really pure baseball fans.
Right.
They just want to see the Mark McGuire's, the Sammy Sosa's, the Barry Bonds bash those home runs. Well, guess what? They're not going to be doing that anymore. You're not going to have 180-pound shortstops hitting 30 home runs anymore.
No, you're not.
Like, so deal with it. Like, you hit the nail on the head there, Alex. That is total hypocrisy.
And as you know, Rob, as kind of an aside here, I went to the new Yankee Stadium back in April, and there were a couple fans behind us, and they were joking, but I thought it was great. The Yankees were getting killed. It was a game where the Indians were killing them like 14-0 or something. They scored like 10 runs in an inning. And then a fan goes, "We want the steroids back," because the Yankees offense was struggling at that point. And I just thought that was funny. And
yeah.
I thought it was true, because, you know, because people, if you, right, home run rates increased, attendance figures increased, and thus... And thus, I feel that if you say steroids affect you, you largely are a hypocrite. Unless in the late 90s, you totally turned off the game. But I don't feel
right. That
was the case for a lot of people.
There's no one individual player performance, like in terms of home runs this year. Pujols is having a huge year, but not like a record-breaking year. He's having the best year of his career so far.
Right.
But we can't really focus on any individual players and go, wow, you know, let's put up the home run watch. And where does he compare to where Bonds did at this time of the year? You know, there's no stories to watch like that this year. The stories we're getting are about pitchers, or about Manny Ramirez missing 50 games because of PEDs, and we're getting the stories about A-Rod and Sosa, who's been out of the game for like 3 years, so who really cares?
Right.
And what a big shock that is. I mean, talk about a non-story. Wow,
right.
Sammy Sosa was on steroids?
No.
Did you know that? Wow.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah.
So there's nothing to focus on.
There isn't much to focus on. All right. We're talking with Rob Blackstein of Rotorom.com. Rob, great discussion as always. Going to get you out on this. It's a recorded show, so I'm not going to be very time sensitive, but I am going to ask you this, Rob. Your Toronto Blue Jays started off the year oh so hot. And
they're not my Toronto Blue Jays, just for the record.
Oh, they're not.
I'm a Red Sox fan.
I know you are. I know you are. But
okay, just to clarify, they're not my Toronto Blue Jays, but go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, I know they're not. I know you're a Red Sox guy. You come on Red Sox podcast all the time. I know you're a Red Sox guy, but
okay.
But a lot of Blue Jays fans in Toronto, I'm sure, are all high and mighty about the Jays, and now the Jays have fallen off. That's what I love about baseball. The best teams always kind of come to the crop at around the All-Star break, really start to sort out who the contenders are and who the pretenders are, and that's just one thing that I really love about the game.
Well, you know, anyone who actually legitimately thought that Toronto was going to keep up that kind of pace, you know, well, I just want to know what they're smoking and where I can get them. Because I wrote an article about it fairly early in the season, like, you know, mid, late April or something, you know, when they got off to the great start. Are the Jays for real? And I took a close look at some of the numbers and some of the performances. And there were so many players on that team that were overperforming. I mean,
right.
Marco Scudero is
not
a major league all-star player.
Right.
There were so many instances of players that were just vastly outperforming anything they had ever done in their career that it was so obvious that they're due for a correction.
Right.
And it happened. The Jays are improved, no doubt about it. They got some nice young pitchers coming along, and they have some pieces in place, but their ability to compete with Boston, New York, and now Tampa Bay since last year, well, it's the same old, right?
Right.
It's just an economic situation. So
it is. All right, Rob Blackstein of Rotorob.com. Rob, thanks so much for coming on the Alex Reamer Show today and talking.
Are we done?
Well, we are. Yeah, that was...
Do you mind if I give my site a plug?
Sure, give your site a plug, Rob.
Well, actually,
absolutely.
First, before I do that, you know today is Canada Day.
It is, right.
Did you know that? Are you planning to sing the Canadian National Anthem for me?
You can do it if you want.
Well, I was hoping you would do it because I'm speaking to you on a holiday today.
Oh, okay.
No, but I want to just talk for a second about Roto Rob. Right now,
sure.
Baseball coverage is going crazy. We do a weekly waiver wire recommendation column, and we do a bullpen roundup every week. Plus lots of frequent fantasy notes. Right now we're working on our football draft kit, We're putting out team-by-team previews with cheat sheets and more to come, busts and sleepers and yada yada. And as far as hockey goes, we just did an NHL draft recap, and we'll have a free agency roundup coming soon. And in basketball, we're doing periodic off-season content. Right now, I'm working on my rankings for the draft kit in the fall. And as always, you can follow me at RotoRob on Twitter and RotoRob on Facebook. So follow me or add me as a friend.
All right, Rob Blackstein, RotoRob.com. It is a great website. All right, Rob, again, thanks for coming on the Alex Reamer Show.
Thanks,
and we're playing some celebratory songs for you as you leave us. All right, Rob Blackstein of RotoRob.com. What is this? This Canada? Oh. Oh, I only know the opening lyrics. All right. Anyway, have a happy 4th of July. Have a happy July 11th. I don't know what holiday that is. I'll be back and talking to you live Saturday, July the 18th from 4 to 5 right here at 1120 AM WBNW Boston across the WBNW affiliates. Again, I'm Alex Reamer. So long, I'll talk to you again live on Saturday, July the 18th.